This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
And we have a pretty full lineup today, all four segments filled.
Lucky. Yep.
A little scrambling there at the last minute. But we have, in the first segment, we have Keith Brophy, the state director of the Michigan Small Business and Development Center. He's going to be interviewing Tim Spock of Test for Time. And then we have a regular here in the studio, Kathleen Norton Shark, that shy, unassuming woman from MCWT. And she has with her Kim Cross, a founder of Philanthropy Services. She's in the second segment. Say
and
hello.
Then at 3:30, we've got Janet Tyler, our friend from Red Level Networks, along with Robert Tassani to talk about the state of cybersecurity. That's always a fun one.
Followed by Rick Beckards of Cloud Tech One, who's going to be talking about his network security seminar on September 21st. But back to Keith.
Yeah, go ahead. Take
it
away,
Mike.
Keith.
Yep. I have been excited about today's session because it's a chance to highlight a entrepreneurial journey that has a focus that's timely and needed in the world, and it's also an entrepreneurial story of persistence and moving this great idea forward. And Tim Spock is the founder of the company we're about to dive into, Test for Time, and the tagline is compelling: reinvent the teachable moment. Tim, could you tell us what does that tagline mean, reinvent the teachable moment, and give us the background profile on your company as well?
Well, sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. The Test for Time started out as an idea a few years ago when my older son would ask me every morning if he could play video games, and this was in the summertime. And my response was always, well, I don't know. And then I said, okay, here's what we'll do. If you answer all these math questions that I write down, I'll give you an hour on the machine. And he said, okay, let's do it. So I would write down the questions. He'd answer them. I'd give him his hour. Well, I would always lose track of the time. So he would be downstairs playing. I'd tell him to stop, and he would start complaining. And I said to a buddy of mine who was a software engineer, I said, you know, there's got to be some way I can automate this. And so I just kind of sat down and started thinking through it and came up with the idea of the Test for Time being an enclosed system where the kids earn the time on the device, whether it's an Xbox or the PlayStation or just watching the TV. And so the process started there with the idea. It went to the patent mode where I applied for the provisional patent, and a year later applied for the utility patent. And it's just been kind of, trekking along. But the reinvent the teachable moment tagline just sort of came from the thought that, kids nowadays, they spend X amount of time per week on the devices. And instead of just grumbling about that time and knowing that it's probably not productive time, let's embrace that platform and turn it into something positive. And so that's where the reinvent the teachable moment came from.
And Tim, do you consider this approach unique? I'm sure you spend a lot of time looking at what else is out there.
Oh, it is unique. It's funny going through the patenting process. I have learned that this is a unique device, and for some reason, the educational software companies always wanted to go to their own enclosed system where you know, you answer their questions, and you know, their cartoon characters present the problems in their, you know, in their own way, and then you earn, you know, such and such credits, and at the end of the day, all you do is basically, you know, you've done the work, but you basically just get a pat on the back. And I thought that it would be kind of neat with the test for time that it's actually giving a tangible reward, meaning, you know, time on the device that they wanted to use.
And I wanted to point out that your website is testfortime.com. And out at your site, you have a number of videos of the solution that listeners can pop up and get a very good feel for how the test for time concept works. Where are you in the product life cycle? Are you approaching your market launch?
Well, it's getting closer and closer, and it's all about funding with any kind of project like this. It's always about the funding. So what you see on the website is a couple of the TV spots that I did over here in the, you know, in the West Michigan area. One was on CBS and another one was on Fox, showing how the set-top box worked. Since that time, it's been adapted to work on Android tablets and smartphones. So either way you do it, whether it's, like I said, with the set-top box blocking the video signal to the TV set, or just, you know, with your child using the tablet or smartphone, they're all ready to go. Like I said, it's a matter of finishing up the software changes that you would need for a production quality, or to, you know, to get it up on the Google Play Store, and then also with the changes necessary to get the actual set-top box built.
Can I leap in a second, Keith? Do you have any sort of price point? Or is that on the website? Do you know what you're going to charge for this?
The app is going to, you'll be able to download that for $1.99 a month, so like 6.5 cents a day for that. The set-top box is not set in stone right now, but I think it's going to be somewhere around like $119.95, $120, something like that.
Okay. Well, okay, sorry. I was leading back. Go ahead, Keith. I didn't mean to interrupt.
And don't dive in at any time. This is an interesting Michigan business story here, and Tim and I have caught cups of coffee at times on his journey and talked about some of the fundraising objectives. And Tim, I wonder if you could share with us your view of raising funds for an initiative like this in the Michigan ecosystem. Has it been easy to gain audience with potential funders?
No. In a word, no.
Surprise!
It's easily the hard part of the equation. Getting someone to buy into it is one thing, and that, you know, that's actually the hard part. That's the sell that I'm responsible for at this level. But just finding those possible people to talk to is the real challenge. And nobody. At any level, whether it's even, you know, the SBDC or the, like in the Grand Rapids area, we have the GR Current. There's not like to use an old school term, there's no Rolodex of people who have funded these kind of things before and are a willing ear to listen to your story. So that's sort of been the hard part, the frustrating part of this part of the process, is that, you know, you kind of reach out to, if you see like a venture capital people who have invested in ed tech, education technology projects before, or they're in the region and that's their specialty is being in the Midwest. I've contacted, you know, those kinds of people. And it's, like I said, that's the hard part, because business, a product at my stage isn't always appealing to someone in the pre-revenue stage.
What about working with a company kind of in that space already as a preferred partner, so that you get exposed to their contacts and and their customers, and then they get exposed to you, and if they're interested, they want to invest in you. Have you tried that route?
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. The problem is that companies that are sort of in this business already play things really close to the vest, and they're not exceptionally open to talking to outside companies, about those kinds of things, which surprised me. I thought that what you just said, I thought made perfect sense. And I tried it a few times and got very, very curt replies as far as getting together to talk about that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Now you have kept the idea and the company moving forward for several years now, advancing the concept and the patent and then even getting to a demo stage of technology proof stage. For entrepreneurs that are out there listening, what's gone well? What is your biggest breakthrough that's kept you going at it for several years straight?
Well, there's one, you have to have just an undying belief that what you're doing is the right thing and that it's something that is needed, that it's timely. But you've got a decent business model put together. And you just, like I said, you just got to have, faith that you're walking down the right path. It does get frustrating, but there's a couple things you got to be, if you want to be successful, I think you've got to be willing to accept the fact that you're not going to own 100% of this at the end of the day. And I think that's a hurdle that a lot of, inventors, developers, whatever, that's something that they have trouble dealing with, is that they're going to end up giving away part of the company to move it forward.
All right. And then Keith, we're down to 2 minutes, just to let you know. 2 minute warning here.
Okay.
Sorry, okay. Too much football.
And then, the other thing is just being, allowing yourself to be flexible in that the whatever project it is, whatever your device is that you're working on, it can evolve into different things. I mean, the Tetra Time started out as a device that blocked the electricity at the wall to the Xbox. And I ended up changing the patent so that it blocked the video signal instead. And then just in some conversations with a professor out of Grand Valley, I had it worked on in his capstone engineering class, and it turned into something that works on the Android tablets and smartphones. Hmm. So, you just keep having conversations, you keep talking to people, and just new things pop up, doors get closed, other doors get open, and you just kind of keep pushing it along.
Great. Well, thanks, Tim. We wish you well on the next steps ahead, and keep us posted on the progress. And again, that website is testfortime.com.
And it is test for numeral
four. Thank you very much. I appreciate
right?
it, guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim, and thank you very much, Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center, with his regular segment where he talks to entrepreneurs. Pretty neat stuff, huh, Mike?
Pretty neat. I like it. I'll have to check that out.
Okay. And we'll be back with Kathleen Norton-Schock talking about women in technology. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Been looking forward to this segment. Our longtime friend, Kathleen Norton-Schock, will talk about a whole bunch of issues, but we're going to start with Diva Tech Talk, right?
Right. Thanks for having us back. Diva Tech Talk missed our podcast in August because the Divas had a number of things going on. One of our co-founders, Amanda Luan, has expanded Bamboo Detroit considerably, so now she also has an east side of Detroit location. Hmm. I spent at least 2.5 weeks on the East Coast, back to my roots, learning how to pronounce coffee again, as we just said, meeting friends and stuff. And then the most important project that the Divas got done this summer is we now have a Diva et. Nora Scheffler was born to Nicole Johnson Scheffler, and she is the diva in training currently.
Okay.
So we are back now, though, with a bang, and our very first podcast coming out this week will be podcast number 35 with Dr. Barbara Shimataro, who is the head of the Cybersecurity Center at Walsh College, The greatly expanded Cybersecurity Center. And that podcast, which will be out on divatechtalk.com either by Friday or Monday, will talk about the expansion of that particular initiative at Walsh, including, of course, everything to do with hacking and phishing, et cetera, which would be a great segue to our next guests coming up. So I will repeat it again at the end. And then the Divas were very pleased. Even though we were on hiatus, we got an award. Of course, we had applied for the award prior to hiatus. And we're really excited because the Association of Women in Communications has awarded the Divas one of their Clarion 2016 awards for a radio program, which is where they characterize podcasts. So we are in wonderful company, including Gloria Steinem, who also got an award at the exact same time. Hmm. We missed meeting Gloria, but maybe next time. So that's my my shameless plug.
Okay.
I was wondering why you moved the bell in front of you, so I knew something was coming.
Right. And now we'll go to, of course, one of my very favorite nonprofits in the state, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Now, nobody at MCWT took a hiatus this summer. If anything, activity doubled. Hmm. First of all, our golf fundraiser, which this will be our sixth year of having, raised over $100,000.
Wow.
And that those funds, as usual, will go to such things as the over $1 million worth of scholarships we funded over a decade, our girls, our fourth through eighth grade Camp Infinities, done now at four different locations, The Girls Get It program held at high schools after school, the robotics teams that we fund, and a few other things, one of which we also announced September 1st. The High School Girls Website Contest opens September 1st under the leadership of Barb Kalbfleisch, who's been running it for a number of years. Last year, we had 163 high school teams compete. Our goal is, of course, to beat that again this year. We have a separate website for this. Part of the reason we do that is that the girls use the website oftentimes to put up their designs and to learn. So that website is MCWT Web Design, the numeral 4, girls.net.
Okay.
And even if you do not decide to encourage your high school girls web team to apply, and there are monetary awards, and I've met at least two high school girls who went through this and won and then got work at Fortune 1000 companies still in their high school days, designing web microsites. One went to Ford, as a matter of fact, as a high schooler. So it's definitely a wonderful, wonderful place for girls to look at. But even if you decide not to have your girl or your girl's team participate in the contest, I would suggest going back to that website because it has invaluable tips and programming tools that are expressly created so that girls can understand them and adopt them.
Is it just restricted to females only, no mixed teams?
Sorry, it is. We are encouraging girls programming at MCWT.
I wasn't sure.
So there are website contests, I'm sure, for high school students of all sexes, of all types. This happens to be oriented towards girls. So, again,
okay. And is there – I know you used to do a pitch day, a presentation day for some finalists for this. Are you doing that again this year?
We do. That is part and parcel of this. What happens is it's a multi-month program. The girls send in their applications. They begin their training. They get to that website I mentioned. They work with their teachers. They do a lot of work. We do a pre-judging because we have a number of judges who are usually coming from some of the major – companies in our area and who are expert in web design. And then when we get down to the finalists, it's a major day where all the girls are able to demo their sites, and then the winners are announced. And it isn't a single winner.
Yeah.
We announce multiple winners, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous thing. So,
and,
again.
And do you have that scheduled yet, the finals?
I'm not sure. Kim, do you know?
I believe it's December 5th.
Okay. Thanks, Kim.
Okay.
So,
it used to be at Lawrence Tech. Ring the bell again. That's my employer. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it still is, though. Is it going to be again?
I don't know. I don't know about this year. It's expanded so much that we do tend to move it among campuses. But again, that website is MCWT Web Design numeral number 4 girls.net. Now, the third thing I have to announce is every month, of course, we have tremendous networking sessions. We have to have one tomorrow night. We call them our Connect Nets. This is a pure social session tomorrow night, September 13th. At Bar Louie in Livonia. Mm. If you're an MCWT member, your attendance is free. If you're not an MCWT member but just want to come and meet with us, the attendance is nominal. So I would suggest it's priceless networking. And being September, which is the month in my mind for all of this re-energized networking, I definitely suggest that if you're in Livonia or anywhere in Southeast Michigan, if you can make it anytime after 5 tomorrow night, Bar Louie in Livonia.
Women only again?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Here,
MCWT membership comprises almost 30% men now because so many of our sponsor companies who want to encourage girls and women to join the field are part of it.
Right.
Then the fourth thing we have to announce is in its fourth year, we have our Ignite Mentoring Program. This is where we take mid-career women or early career women and match them with mentors. If you go to our website at www.mcwt.org, you can pick up an application to become a mentee. Applications are being taken until the end of September. Then fifth, we have been very busy for the last year expanding into the west side of Michigan, and we just made a formal announcement that we have a fully fledged MCWT branch, if you will, established in the west side of Michigan out of Grand Rapids with our first four major sponsors out of that area, Open Systems Technology, Gordon's Food Service, Myers, and Spectrum Health are all part of the group that is supporting that initiative.
All the little companies over there.
Right, just a few. And on September 30th, we will be doing a showing of Code, which is a great movie that hopefully all of you have heard about. It's a movie that's been out for several years. It's often shown in small places and then larger venues like this one, where, in fact, we talk about breaking the code, if you will, for women to break into the field. And then on October 15th, we'll be doing a West Side Connect Net. And then finally, but we're very excited about this, we have announced our Leading Woman in Tech, the first annual Leading Woman in Tech inaugural award. The application for that is open to any woman nominated either by herself or by other people who has led initiatives, innovation, and other women and girls to join the technology field. Mm. We're taking those applications now.
Statewide,
just in the state of Michigan. It has to be a leading woman. She can be an entrepreneur. She could be at a Fortune 2000. We don't care as long as she has done considerable work to inspire women and girls. And, by the way, we're making that award at our November Orange Carpet Gala. Mm-hmm. And beside me is my dear friend Kim Cross, who has a strong background in philanthropy, who has come on board part-time for MCWT to help us with our fundraising. And the first thing I'd like to ask you, Kim, is tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you into this opportunity.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me this afternoon. I have been involved with philanthropy for about 25 years, primarily as a volunteer. And about 12 years ago, I was on the board of the Michigan Humane Society, and I was helping with their capital campaign. And we were raising money for a shelter in Westland, and I helped lead that campaign. And it was really exciting when we got the check. It was a challenge grant with Kresge. When we got the money, we saw the new shelter. We saw the animals in the shelter, and it was just wonderful. And I thought, wow, I could get paid for raising money and doing great things like this. So that's how I got involved with it.
Kresge, there's a name I haven't heard in a while.
And you know, what I find interesting about this is Kim used to run a hedge fund.
Yes. I started out as a stockbroker in Detroit, went on to New York with my husband and San Francisco, launched a hedge fund and investment advisory firm, retired for a couple of years, came back to Detroit, and been loving it ever since.
And aren't we lucky? So tell us a little bit about what you're doing for MCWT. For instance, I know you're working on grants and certainly our active base of sponsorships and obviously bringing in more sponsors. What is it that a sponsor gets out of becoming a partner with MCWT?
Well, there are a lot of opportunities to really get engaged. As Kathleen mentioned, we just have networking events. We have programs. As technology has grown, so has the demand for our programs. We are doubling our Get It programs, our camp programs. More and more girls are wanting to sign up for education, for our mentoring program as well. So as a sponsor, you can sponsor programs. You can sponsor an event. We do have partner levels. The partner levels are obtained based on the level of sponsorships for events and programs. So some of our top sponsors or partners, we have Ford, Chrysler, Fiat Chrysler, Meijer, Cisco,
IBM.
Salesforce.com. We could go on. We have about 64, and it's really a very impressive list.
So tell us then, because our major fundraiser of the year is the Orange Carpet Gala, and we call it the Orange Carpet versus Red Carpet because orange is one of our brand colors. Tell us about that this year. It's taking place on November 5th. Am I correct?
Yes. And this year we had to move it to the Motor City Casino because it has just grown so much.
What a bummer, huh?
I know. So our goal is to raise about $500,000, which will go toward our programs. And as a sponsor, you get special seating, acknowledgement, going back to the whole carpet gala event, we are going to acknowledge the partners as they walk down the orange carpet, much like Hollywood, but ours is going to be orange.
Orange is for, what am I missing?
It's part of our brand.
Color. Oh, part of the brand.
Yeah,
got
for
it.
12
okay,
years.
Got it.
Yes, for 12 years. So we're really excited about it. There will be just dancing. There will be some of the people that we've helped, some of the girls, videos.
Are we doing a silent auction again this year?
Oh my gosh, we are. We are doing a silent auction and we have been ramping that up all summer. So we're going to have a silent auction, live auction.
One of the things I used to love is we always have this in either October or November, and I swear a couple of years I went and Christmas shopped at the silent auction.
Oh, yeah, that's always fun.
Because they're unique things. You know, yeah. There are cabins. There are walls of wine. You can just bid on a bottle of wine. We go in for anything affordable to things that are slightly less affordable, like, for instance, Super Bowl tickets. But those will be there, I'm pretty certain. So
Yeah. That would be a big one.
But the other thing sponsors get, besides coming and doing usually tables of 10, they get to sit with other IT executives, do they not?
Yes,
right.
They do.
So similar to the golf outing where you can golf with an IT executive, if you're at IBM, let's say, and you want to meet someone, you can sip with them and have a drink.
All right. Real quick, where can people go?
Yes.
Yeah, where can people go to get more information?
www.mcwt.org.
Okay. Well, we've reached the end of this segment. Kathleen, thanks as always. Terrific stuff. That was Kathleen Nortonchuk of Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology and
six or eight other hats. Yeah, women of many hats.
What the heck? And Kim Cross, founder of Philanthropy Services and now coming on board to help MCWT with its fundraising. That's terrific. But for right now, we'll be right back in a minute. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
It's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch. And we're back with the next segment of the M Squared TechCast. We're going to talk cybersecurity now. This is fun stuff.
Yeah, this is the Red Level segment that we do every month. And in fact, I'm going to be moderating a panel for Red Level on Wednesday. Adjusting my microphone there. So I would like to thank Red Level for the opportunity to do that. We should probably talk a little bit about the September 14th Steak and Security event. Rob, what can you tell us about that? Other than what kind of steak?
I like
by the
both
way,
those things,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have the best steak. I'm thinking like maybe filet.
Ooh, Capital Grill.
Capital Grill. Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, we have a great event lined up for Wednesday, September 14th, where we're going to highlight the cybersecurity mid-year review and top security concerns that CIOs should be aware of.
So we cover this a lot. We have a lot of segments with cybersecurity. But what do you see as the top threat landscape for this year? I mean, what's the bad stuff we'll be dealing with on Wednesday?
Free pizza emails. really, that's the, you know, talking about the security threats that are on the rise. And they're not just hitting the large corporations anymore. They're hitting the small, mid-sized businesses. And basically, hackers have learned a smarter way with evolving malware, ransomware, and exploit kits. And what that is it's not like the days of, in my first segment with you guys, I referenced Office Space, and I'm going to do it again here because inside of Office Space, they popped a diskette in and uploaded some virus, and they were trying to pick off a couple cents of every dollar, and $300,000 later, they all freaked out, right? So
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's not what they do anymore, though. Nowadays, with malware and ransomware, it's kind of dominated the 2016 landscape. Mm-hmm. So over what was last year versus 2015, since 2015, there's been over 170% increase in malware and ransomware.
I actually think it's probably a bigger number than that because it's ransomware alone is a huge business, not so much for aimed at smaller businesses, but those middle-sized companies, big companies, you know, they target the CEO types that have the access to everything and wham, right?
So yeah. Yeah, and a lot of those, I mean, the one that was really popular earlier this year was free pizza. Everybody opened up, I got a free pizza in my inbox, and that kind of came in, and next thing you know, it's got the crypto virus on there, and people are paying lots of money for Bitcoin and all that stuff. So,
How significant is the sort of underreporting problem of that? Anyway, I mean, you people not wanting to admit
that's really a big issue. I mean, I tried to cover. I used to have a cybersecurity newsletter. I just gave up because when the people get hit, they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And when they got a great solution, they don't want to talk about it. So it's like, what do I got to report on? Right. You know. So.
Yeah. So I mean. I think the underlying stuff where people are not reporting it is probably far and more advanced, obviously, than what they are reporting. Mm. I mean, obviously, if you're Target or Home Depot or something like that, you have to report any breaches. But
publicly traded companies have to report.
Publicly traded.
HIPAA, those sorts of things, they have to. Otherwise, there's legal sanctions. But private business, they don't have to say a thing, right?
No. I mean, if you get hit with the crypto virus or something like that, you got to pay. You technically. I mean, well, you should. I mean, I guess, but it's bad PR if you do, right?
So right.
You're damned if you do and damned if you don't exactly. On that one. That's a toughie. So
yeah. So, outside of ransomware and malware, talking about the business email compromise schemes. So that's where we're talking about the low tech side of security threats, which is what I was talking about, the emails and stuff that come in. Talking about the exploit kits too. So basically hacking as a service, if you want to coin that new phrase here. Mm. Last time I was here, I talked about hardware as a service. So it's not the same HAAS. It's a little bit different here. This is the bad HHAS, if you will.
So you guys don't deal on that, though, right?
No, we don't.
Okay,
no.
But, not somebody crossed over to the dark side or something.
Is there more money to be made, though?
A whole lot more money, yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you'd look good in orange. I just don't.
The silver bracelets,
really.
click, you know. It doesn't work.
You know, maybe stripes.
That'd be good.
Stripes.
Or what is it, pink, that Arpaio makes you wear in Arizona, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is, I think.
The exploit kits are the prepackaged nuggets of code that bad guys try to hide inside of everything that comes through. Mm. And they sell all that information on the black market.
Oh, yeah, the dark web. There's so much of that going on. It's just, I mean, the illegal stuff is always the stuff that makes the most dough. I mean, really, I mean, just... you know, pornography, gambling, all that stuff. That's the number one to two businesses on the internet. People just don't realize it's just kind of low key.
Yeah.
But hacking has certainly got to be right up there.
I imagine so. I mean, one of the things, just to kind of segue off here real quick, but one of the things that I saw documentation on TV once was the people in, I believe it was China, they ran the Bitcoin servers that all these cryptoware and all that stuff, where they kind of make you pay, or they have you buy a Bitcoin for a certain amount of money.
Right.
Well, they actually run the processing of those Bitcoins.
Mm.
And it's this really scaled down. I mean, you see beautiful data centers here with, like, you know, rows of servers and all that stuff. Out there, it's like torn apart machines with like a power supply sitting on the floor, and it's just running. But that's what they do. So, I mean, that's they're making money just by processing a Bitcoin.
It's kind of like Visa and MasterCard. Yeah. What, they get the 3 or 4% off the top? I'm sure they get a nice cut too, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And seeing their hardware, obviously they ain't paying much for it.
No, not
so
China.
They're trying to make money.
So what do you think of the whole thing that's been in the headlines lately about compromising elections here in the U.S.? You know, the state actors trying to do that. Is that possible? What do you think? It's pretty decentralized. That's the thing about elections in the U.S.
I just heard there's 8,500 separate electoral systems around the country.
Right.
8,500.
Yeah.
I'm sure being electronic, there's probably loopholes or vulnerabilities. So, I mean, I wouldn't say like, no, it's 100% secure, because I'm sure, and I don't know, I'm not in that industry, but I'm sure there's a vulnerability or a hole somewhere there where somebody can kind of jump in there and hack away at it.
Well, I've watched the vote counting process in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights since like the early 90s.
They use paper ballots down there, don't they?
Well, no, they use the cards where you fill in the circles
and then you put it in
the machine. Nothing that counts the votes is connected to the internet. So, I mean, I don't see how you could, unless somebody were to slip in. You know, you would have to have a person slip in some software somewhere in the tallying system.
Well,
you know,
that
would be the only
one
way.
One of the ways I heard that they could do it is, for instance, getting a hold of the voter registration records. And, geez, I think there was a country that was just doing that recently,
yeah.
Right? And so people that think they're registered, they show up and go, I'm sorry, you're not registered.
Yeah.
And you can't vote, right?
Right. Well, or you can cast a provisional
ballot.
Well,
you have
already
voted.
But,
You've already voted three times today, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, if you saw that movie, Man of the Year, with Robin Williams, how it was like double B, double G,
loved
double
it.
L, or something like that. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, the way that they created that software package, you know, the algorithm they use it could ultimately end up determining who wins, right? Even though Robin Williams didn't technically win. It was just because of his alphabet letters was first or something.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
Great movie, though.
Crazy.
Favorite
things.
Actor.
So we also have other threats we're going to be dealing with on Wednesday. Well, not dealing with, but talking about on Wednesday, right? So
Yeah. So there's some zero-day attacks that we're going to be talking about. And obviously, I mean, outside of all the attacks, you know, it's kind of like, what can my business do? How can I reduce my risk? Getting kind of like, you know, top 10 things to do to help protect you, help protect your business, your organization, how to train your employees and educate them to not like free pizza.
Yeah, I mean, that's really human error is really the root cause of most of this stuff, because people do dumb things that they shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden the bad guys are there, right?
You could buy everybody one of those Robert Heinlein tan staffel T-shirts, right? You know, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
There
right?
you go. Yeah,
okay.
Hey, we don't have too much time left, and I know I want to get into another subject near and dear to Janet Tyler's heart, but let's talk a little bit about that. Red Level is sponsoring TEDx, and I think the date is October 6th.
October 6th at the beautiful Fox Theater. We're back. So we'll be there on the 6th with a lot of doers, thinkers, inspirational thoughts for the day. But more than that, technology, entertainment, and design. And of course, that X factor, which no one really knows what that is, but it's the combination of when you bring all that together. It creates makes just for a great day, getting all of our thinkers and doers from the city together and really reviewing what's happening in Detroit.
So, oops, sorry, Kathleen.
Didn't Red Level just get a few awards, guys? Don't you want to trumpet a little bit about that? I can pass the bell over.
Ring the bell there.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
Yeah. Well, we were just named 101 Best and Brightest to Work For.
Your spoof. I put your spoof video up on my website, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Yeah, we had a little bit of fun with that last week. And Microsoft just awarded us again for the second year in a row. That was actually our seventh year winning 101 Best and Brightest. And then Microsoft only awards in their Heartland region a very small number of their certified partners. And we were the Cloud Partner of the Year for the second year in a row. So we're moving lots of customers to Office 365, a newer product called EMS, which is all about enterprise mobility and security. And yeah, we're having a great time doing it. So we're picking up. Rob and I were just talking in the lobby. We've hired 5 new employees in the last 90 days.
Wow.
So business is great. Growth is good. So it's good.
Okay. You know, I think we didn't even introduce you in the beginning. Let me just let you talk there, Rob. What is your title? I know it's security something, but I don't remember exact title.
My title is Vice President of Cloud and Technology Solutions.
Oh, okay.
Or as we call it in the inside, our CTS team.
Oh, okay. And, of course, Janet?
I'm a Chief Operating Officer of the firm.
Known Janet goes back to my Free Press days. I've known Janet. So.
Since I was a wee babe in the PR industry.
Just
about
a little
10,
girl.
Then. About 10.
She was about 10 back then.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, Kathleen.
So getting back to TEDx, now you guys are a big sponsor of that. Now, are you going to, anybody from Red Level going to be speaking or?
No one from the stage. What we're going to really be doing there is essentially taking this beautiful, archaic, amazing theater, the Fox Theater, and kind of bringing it up to the current century and essentially providing free wireless access through our partners, 123net and Aerohive, to the entire theater, all the attendees, the labs. So essentially, it's free Wi-Fi for everyone. So we're going to encourage people. You
free
know,
pizza
typically,
too, right, Rob?
No,
free
pizza. Not no, free pizza. Free
everybody
Wi-Fi.
Gets free pizza.
And if
download
you get an email
coupon.
From us, it did not come from us. Do not open it. Do not click
yes,
it.
Do not click on anything that says free pizza.
And if you do, call Red Level. We'll help you fix it.
There you go.
I was going to plug that, Janet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time in this segment. And we've had Rob Tassani and Janet Tyler, both from Red Level Networks, on the show here. And again, they're big sponsors of TEDx on October 6th at the Fox Theater. We encourage you all to attend. And last year there was 3,000, I think, that
yep,
did.
Yep, 3,000
right?
attendees. And just go to TEDxDetroit.com to buy tickets, $85 for the day. And we're going to have all the famous Detroit food trucks there this year. So it's going to be really a great day.
And if they want to know more about Red Level, how do they do that?
www.redlevelnetworks.com.
And this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics.
This is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan. And gosh, we're having fun today,
and
right?
I was going to say, some of our off-air discussions get the pretty, well, yeah, we won't go into that.
The outtakes.
or out of that.
Or something, yes.
I don't know.
On the phone, calling in from lovely Farmington Hills. No, what? I always get that wrong. Rochester Hills, right?
That's correct, sir.
Rochester Hills.
Why do I always
want to
say Farmington Hills? Because probably nearer
that
to
was the original
something.
Hills,
was
I
it?
Think.
Okay.
Well, no,
Rochester
Bloomfield
Hills.
Hills.
We have
was
Rick,
the original
Rick
Hills.
Beckers, the chief cook and bottle washer, president, founder of Cloud Tech One.
A terrific company.
And you guys have, well, it started in June, I believe, with Cloud Tech One University. Is that right, Rick?
That's correct, sir. And we've got them going on. We're ramping them up faster and more frequently, and we're getting all over the place with not only our regular monthly Cloud Tech One University events, but we've got some other association events going on, and just trying to get the news and the word out there as much as possible about, you know, all of the good things that can be done with the cloud, for the cloud, and about the cloud.
And on September 21st, you're going to be having an event. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. On the 21st, at our location in Rochester Hills, we're going to have an event about network security for small and medium businesses. We're going to go over all the various ways that a company and entity can protect itself from all the boogities. And there's more than one way to get that done. So we're going to go over all the different possibilities. And then on October 19th, again back at Rochester Hills Cloud Tech One University campus, we're going to do an event similar, but that one's going to be how to utilize managed services from various vendors to outsource all IT across the board for data and voice and all those happy items. And then we have a big one coming up in November. We're going to be over at Automation Alley for game-changing cloud technologies in the manufacturing industry.
Well, that should be popular, yeah.
What's that?
That should be popular, I would think. There's a lot of manufacturers here in Southeast Michigan.
Absolutely. Heading out to Chicago on Wednesday to go to the International Manufacturing Technology Show, and I think I'll have an opportunity to collect lots of information about IoT and other top of mind topics for the manufacturers, and then we're going to bring that stuff back along with all of the other things that we've been doing through Automation Alley and present that to the locals to try to help everybody become more efficient and more productive. And I think that will be a good show.
So tell me a little bit about how manufacturers are making use of cloud technologies. What are they doing with them?
Well, for one thing, they're converting a lot of capital expenditures on the IT side to operating expenses and just running more efficiently. They're getting higher levels of redundancy and security. And you wouldn't think that the two actually would go together, cloud and security, but they do. And that is more and more so as the technology matures. It's done through encryption. On the back end of the house is where the latest interest is with cloud technology. And you've undoubtedly heard of the acronym IoT, the Internet of Things. Well, they're looking at this, the world is looking at this as being actually the next wave or era in terms of the Industrial Revolution. They're calling it Industry Internet of Things or Industry 4.0. And in my role as co-chair over at the Automation Alley Technology Committee, we're collecting a lot of this information from luminaries all over the world. We're in the process of actually creating a three-year report of how and where Southeast Michigan stands on this topic. So it's really exciting to talk to manufacturers, find out, you know, what it is that we can do for them. And all of this stuff is new and being built now to be pushed out all over the world. And we think that Southeast Michigan has a step up on everyone else in terms of stamping themselves as the number one place for getting things done with the Industry 4.0.
I know Tom Kelly, the new executive director of Automation Alley, is very high on Industry 4.0. He was on the show, 2 weeks ago talking about that.
Absolutely. You get Tom and I in the room, and we start talking about that stuff, people just, their eyes glaze over.
Yeah, the new world, yes. So what else is going on with I know we got to get you over in Ann Arbor one of these days. We've talked about that before. We got to get your movable feast shift over there. Maybe we'll have a big holiday party in December or something. Work something out on that.
Sounds like a good idea. In between now and then, we do have one other thing coming up. We're going to be up in Frankenmuth.
Ooh.
Michigan Association of CPAs has invited me up there to talk about cybersecurity in their space. And so we'll be up there and maybe have a little chicken and beer. That's October 26th.
That's about Oktoberfest time, isn't it? Somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah. Somebody got smart.
Yeah, good thinking there.
So where's that event going to be?
It's right at the Bavarian Inn complex.
Okay.
Good complex.
And all these things, by the way, you can get out on our website at cloudtech1.com. Go to the events tab, and all of this stuff is up there. You can actually register there. And if you want, even if you can't make it to any of these and you want to be aware of future events coming up, get signed up out there, and then periodically we'll send you something just to let you know what's coming down the pipe.
Plus, you have a newsletter, yes?
Absolutely. Try to keep everybody abreast of the rapidly changing landscape out there when it comes to technology and the cloud.
And I'm not quite ready to announce anything yet, but Rick's going to be involved in it as well as Automation Alley, and we're going to be doing some stuff in video, but I haven't got sign-off yet from the powers that be. So hopefully in the next week or so, we will be announcing that. Some exciting news. So we're going to be doing a lot of video and capturing a lot of this for folks as well. So
absolutely.
I'm excited about that. It's a whole new direction for us. It's going to be great. We'll get everybody involved. Probably have Matt do the voiceovers. You know, he's that nice radio voice and everything. So I can't do it. I'm not deep enough here. So, but
yeah, we've got some things going on with them in video too, but it has to do with more video collaboration. Some exciting things I think are going to change or have changed over there at the Alley. And instead of having to go there to visit and participate in every event, we are at Cloud Tech One hoping to bring the ability for members to be able to participate over the World Wide Web through video conferencing.
And again, since I'm on the inside on that, I can't say anything because we haven't announced it, but that's coming too, and probably both announcements yet this month. What do you think, Rick?
I think so.
All right.
We're all over it. It's just a matter of getting in front of all our friends over there and dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
Cool. Well, we'll look forward to that. We'll announce that at a future podcast, certainly. And by the way, Mike, if you want this voice, I was punched in the throat as a child. So if
was
you
that
just,
it?
Yeah, well, so you can... Just, you know, have somebody.
I don't know if I want the deep voice for and the pain that goes with it,
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah.
So that's good, though.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit more about Cloud Tech One, the company. What would you say is, I know you have a lot of clients, but what is the service that you really provide a lot of that you're really happy about and that's expanding? Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, as cloud develops and matures, it's ongoing, but pretty much everybody has moved away from on-premise email and communication systems. That stuff's all up in the cloud. Business continuity and disaster recovery used to be tape, right? And then it was disk to disk, and now everybody's given up on all of that. And everything's going to the cloud, so you get your data off-site, you get it encrypted, and that way you're much better able to survive any disaster that impacts your data center, your server, et cetera.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad guy coming in. It could be Mother Nature, right? Does something bad to you. And so,
yeah. Yeah, tornado, whatever, you know, fire, you name it. Anything that would take you out for a while is obviously going to have a huge financial impact on you. And these are the ways to economically stave off those situations and keep your business running steady and strong. I mean, we've done things so big as to say that 50 servers and 20 terabytes of data were being replicated offsite, and within 15 minutes, we're able to turn that on and actually have that in production, which is pretty amazing.
No, I know Matt wants to ask his secret question. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, Mike. The constant question I have of all companies, I can't believe I didn't ask it of our.
I know. I was waiting, but I didn't hear it.
So. You know, I'm always interested in workforce development issues and employment issues. So, do you have openings, and if so, what skill sets?
I do. As a matter of fact, today we just brought on two new fellows.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you, Christian Jones and Patrick. Cook came to join us today. We've got another one starting next Monday, and we're actively looking for sales, administrative, and technical people as we grow here. Out on our webpage, you can submit that information or just email it to careers@cloudtech1.com. That's one of the most exciting things for me is being able to positively benefit people with good jobs and have them join the family, so to speak.
And you're 20-something. You're 20-something employees now, right? You're in the 20s?
Mm.
Yep. Growing fast, staying strong.
Okay. So what would you say is your fastest growing service right now? Obviously cloud, but what part of that?
All parts of it, to be honest with you. Data, voice over IP, software as a service. It's just all over the place. A lot of security stuff. You know, the managed service provider business that we're in, it continually devolves and develops, and they continue to punch out tool after tool after tool that allows us to really do things better for businesses. The one that's come out most lately that I'm really excited about for my clients is the ability to monitor their networks proactively. It's almost like we sit out with a sniffer on their network over the internet and watch patterns on their network so that even prior to the CryptoLocker encryption software being able to affect them, we're able to see it growing within their network and actually shut it down in advance. Now that's pretty wild, but that stuff is coming, and before too long, I guarantee that is going to be so popular that it'll be as normal or standard, if you will, than just having a firewall.
And if I recall from our previous conversations, like you say, that you monitor that stuff before it gets to the network, so if a bad guy gets in, you can stop them at the door, as it were, right?
That's correct. And that's the idea. I mean, you do calculations having to do with return to operations and, you know, how long you could afford to be down and what the impact is and business continuity and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's still an impact. So whenever we come across the technology that's going to secure a network and get it done in a proactive manner, I'm excited about that, and everybody else should be too.
Okay, well, we've kind of run out of time. We have run out of time for this segment and for the hour. But, Matt, why don't you thank our guests?
All right, sure. Rick Beckers of Cloud Tech One, thank you very much. Robert Tassani and Janet Tyler from Red Level talking about cybersecurity. Earlier, Kathleen Norton-Schock from Diva Tech Talk, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and Kim Cross from Philanthropy Services. And we kicked off the show with Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center, interviewing Tim Smock of an interesting little startup called Test for Time that will, you know, make your kids learn something in order to get time playing video games.
What a revolutionary idea. I love it.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the podcast Detroit.com network and a whole bunch of other places. We've got past episodes there for your downloading and listening pleasure, whatever you like.
Absolutely. And this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch. And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.